You're listening to The Social Workers on WCDB Albany.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Social Workers on WCDB 90.9 FM here in Albany. My name is Eric Hardiman, and I'm your co-host here with Alyssa Lotmore. Welcome back, Alyssa.
Hey, Eric. I'm glad to be here with students again today.
It's that time of semester where we are starting to think about the end of the semester, and we've got an exciting topic today. We are meeting with four graduate students from the School of Social Welfare, and we'll hear all about an exciting community engagement and social change project that they are doing for one of their courses. And in the context of doing that, we're going to interview these four graduate students, but before that, we'd like to play a public service announcement that they have created for us.
Have you ever gone to bed hungry, not able to get food? Maybe you didn't have enough money. Maybe you couldn't get access to the food you needed. Maybe you didn't feel up to getting food that day. If so, then you've been food insecure. One half of college students experience food insecurity. If you've gone to bed hungry, here are four things that you can do. Find a pantry. There may be one on campus that you can use. Apply for SNAP. That used to be called food stamps. That's what they're there for. Ask someone how to apply if you don't know how. Find local community meals. Many churches and other local organizations serve community meals. Visit them. You'll find support there. Ask for help. There are resources out there. There's nothing wrong with being food insecure. It's normal, and many people experience it. A lot of us have been there. And if you want to make a difference, there are some things you can do. Volunteer. Volunteer at a pantry, at a local community meal, or in any other way you can. You'll meet great people, you'll make friends, and you'll be a helper. Raise awareness. Take the stigma off of hunger. A lot of people don't know that food insecurity is even a thing. Some people don't even realize they're experiencing it. Talk about it and take the stigma away.
Please visit us at facebook.com/AlbanySFS. Thank you.
We're back, and here we are with our four students, and Eric will do a proper introduction of them.
So we have four students from the University of Albany's Graduate School of Social Welfare. We have Greta Hansing, Nicole Gentile, Bob Wright, and Will Schaefer. Welcome to the Social Workers. We're glad that you're here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So we really want to hear, you've been doing a group project for the course that you're taking, which is a capstone course in social welfare. It's a course about community engagement and social change. And the four of you have created, developed, and started to implement a project on food insecurity. So tell us a little bit, we've heard the PSA, but tell us a little bit about what food insecurity is, how it's defined, and how you've come to this project as a group.
Well, you know, food insecurity is experienced by more than 12% of Americans every year, and it means not being able to access the food you need in order to get the nutrition that everyone needs to go about their daily life. It can be caused by a lot of things. It can be caused, like, if you don't have enough money. It can be caused if you have a hard time accessing food. Maybe you live too far from a grocery store. Maybe you live in a food desert. There's a lot of causes for food insecurity, and it has some like really negative impacts. And it especially impacts certain populations in our communities more than others. So 40% of households that live in poverty experience food insecurity. 30% of households that are headed by a single parent experience food insecurity. And it's a really important and really significant issue in our communities, but it often doesn't get talked about. And that was something that we wanted to work on as a group, to help raise awareness about it. That's one part of our project.
I think one of the things I was most surprised to learn about is the amount of food insecurity in the college population. To read about a lot of students having to choose between, am I going to buy books or am I going to buy food?
So what was one of the reasons for this capstone project, you could choose your topic? So what were some of the inspiration behind why you chose to focus on this? Out of all the issues that you could learn, you've been talking about through your social work education, why did you choose this as a topic?
We have a lot of experience between the four of us in working on this issue. I volunteered at something called Soul Cafe, which we had in Albany for a few years. Susan Fowler started that as the coordinator. And it is tough to keep something like that going when it's new and you're just getting started out. So that didn't end up being sustainable, but there is a group still going in Troy. So that was a wonderful opportunity to get people to come together from the community, try foods they may not have experienced before, and meet people they haven't had a chance to talk to. Bob, you want to say something about your experience?
I originally became interested in this issue because I was working in a job out in the public in Albany, actually at a library. And I had a lot of kids from the community coming in, and they would often ask for food, or they would ask us for money to go buy food. And it got me thinking, you know, because it was so pervasive. And, you know, as a graduate student, I've had the chance to study this issue a little bit and learn about how it affects children. And, like, the effects on children of food insecurity are profound. Children who are food insecure tend to try to supplement their diet with whatever food they can get. They end up eating a lot of fast food, sugary drinks, fewer vegetables, and it leads to worse health outcomes. And almost paradoxically, it leads to higher rates of obesity and BMI because a lot of kids just try to get the food that's available and it's not the healthiest food they can get. And, you know, even worse though, it leads to like a lot of health outcomes like iron deficiency, higher hospitalization rates for children, and disruptive behavior in school, because we all know what it's like to be hungry and to try to be in school, and to be hungry is, you know, a huge challenge that a lot of our kids in our country are facing. Even like cardiovascular disease and osteoporosis later in life. So it's a really, really big problem. And again, it's 30% of kids who live in single parent households are experiencing food insecurity. It's something that needs to be addressed, and really a lot of people need to be more aware about it.
Nicole, you have experience at Hunger Solutions, is that right?
Yeah, Hunger Solutions New York is actually my internship for this year for the MSW program. So my love for doing anything in the food insecurity world really came in undergrad. I did a internship with the Schenectady Community Ministries, is what it's called now. They do the free summer lunch program in Schenectady. And I got to spend two summers feeding kids. And it was just a really great experience, and I loved doing it, and I changed my major in college when I was an undergrad and ended up in this program. And that's what I want to do long-term, is helping people access food. And so a lot of my experience is in the emergency food side, like food pantries, free meals. But Hunger Solutions New York focuses on the federal nutrition programs, like SNAP, which was talked about in the PSA, and WIC, and programs like that. So the emergency food programs help fill in the gaps, but federal nutrition programs are really what is sustaining people. So that's really where my love came from for this.
So maybe, Will, you could talk a bit about how your group, you know, I've heard a little bit about some of the research that your group did and some of the facts that you found about food insecurity, but how did your group come up with the concrete idea for this project? And maybe tell us a little bit about how the project has developed from the beginning to where it is today.
Yeah, it's been an interesting process because we've all had different experiences. I was the group member where I didn't have any real super tangible experience in food insecurity coming into this. Only kind of tangentially with a job I had where I took somebody to go to food pantries to try and get some food that was food insecure, and it was a real struggle. You know, he didn't have a sense of what the parameters were for if he could get food. He just knew that he might not be able to, and I really hadn't experienced it up until then. But we just went to place after place after place, and they were like, well, you're outside of this zip code, or excuse me, they're like, you've been here too recently, so we think that you're gonna have to come back in 3 days or so, kind of so on and so forth. And it took us, I mean, hours, honestly. I was with him for something like 3 or 4 hours before we finally found one place that was like, yeah, this, all the boxes are checked and you're okay, so we can get this for you. And I think a lot of that was a big factor for what we ultimately ended up deciding when we were thinking about this. You know, we were like, we were really not in love with how many barriers there are to access food, especially when there is so much food that we actually have produced in our country. That was one of the really interesting facts is 40% of the food that is produced in the United States goes to waste, ultimately. And it just is a distribution problem. It's how can we get people access to it? How can we make it more, you know, just more available for folks? So I think breaking down those barriers was a big, or thinking about how can we break down these barriers? Mm-hmm. How can we make a social change effort that is, you know, kind of away from this idea? Was kind of the beginning of us thinking about how we could work on our project. And that kind of led us to Food Not Bombs, who we collaborate with, because they have somewhat of a similar philosophy. And maybe, Bob, this is kind of your area to a certain extent. You want to talk about Food Not Bombs a little bit more?
Yeah. Food Not Bombs is a group that is actually an international organization that's made up of a lot of local chapters. And there is a chapter in Albany that puts on a meal every Monday. It's at the Social Justice Center at 33 Central Avenue, and everyone is invited to come to that. And we were lucky to collaborate with them because it's a tremendously motivated group of people who put on a meal that serves generally between 15 and 30 people, and in the summers where it's served outdoors in the park right on Central Ave, upwards of 50, and one time we counted 100 people coming. So it's pretty amazing. And Food Not Bombs is based on the principle of mutual aid. So there's no overarching organization, there's no leader. It's a consensus-based group where everyone collaborates together to work together to put on this weekly meal. And it is a lot of work. It really is. And there's 10 to 15 people who are there every week cooking a big meal, serving it, cleaning up. And a lot of the folks who come because they're food insecure are also the people who work really hard to put it on every week. So it's not some people, you know, it's not a charity where some people are serving other people. It's a mutual aid group where everyone works mm-hmm. together. And a really important principle of Food Not Bombs, to kind of go off what Will was saying, is, you know, with the amount of food wasted, you know, we try to rescue food out of that would otherwise go wasted. So we find donations of food from grocery stores or restaurants that they might not be able to use. They donate it to Food Not Bombs, and that gets cooked up and served. And one of the aspects of our project that we're really proud of is that we helped Food Not Bombs find some additional sources of food from businesses. And we've assisted them at their meals, and we are hoping to get some folks together who want to volunteer and train them. And if anyone is interested in volunteering for Food Not Bombs, they can email albanyfoodnotbombs@riseup.net. Again, it's albanyfoodnotbombs@riseup.net.
Great.
Now, I've been hearing a lot about the collaboration and the inspiration, but can you get a little more overview of what your project is? What is your capstone project?
And your group has a name. You started off as the Transformers, correct?
Yes.
And you've changed,
transformed since then. Transforming Social Welfare.
So tell us about the name change and tell us then into Alyssa's question about the project itself.
Sure. So we decided to go with Students for Food Security. The reason being it could be more on the negative or more on the positive. The issue is food insecurity, but to keep it more on the positive, we wanted to stick with Students for Food Security. So we have the acronym SFS. We also kind of figured if we stuck with Transformers, it didn't really get the message across that we were working with this particular issue. I did want to add how interesting it is that we had to switch ideas several times. We had this idea to help food, not bombs, and we have done that, but we wanted something a little bit more than that. And each time we had an idea, it seems like we would reach out to someone and they wouldn't be able to help us. A lot of the reason being, it's winter. Well, now, of course, it's spring, but when we were getting this organized, Justine from Denison Farms in Scaticook has been very helpful with Soul Cafe. And she was completely willing to donate food for us to have our own night in addition to Food Not Bombs on Monday night. However, again, she didn't have any food because of the time of year. So having to have changed our focus a few times led us to where we are now. And Will got this idea that, you know, at the end of the school year, students throw out so much stuff, not just food, which is our focus, but I think it's also important to note that they also throw out a lot of really good furniture. And if people had more knowledge of like Habitat for Humanity, the Salvation Army, they'll come and pick that up for free so it doesn't have to completely go to waste. But Will, do you want to talk about how we're going to encourage people to utilize that food?
Yeah, I think I want to take a step back though and talk a little bit about that process that got us to where ultimately what the things we're gonna end up doing for our capstone project. So we initially thought we'd like to put on a weekly meal similar to the Food Not Bombs model because we really like the idea of a unconditional meal. You walk in, I'm not worried about where you're from, I'm not worried about what your status is in any kind of way. If you say you're hungry or you want to participate, take what you need, and it's mutual aid like Bob was talking about. And we really liked that idea, and we thought it might be interesting if there were some, you know, we could see from there in kind of engaging with the community, might there be some other services that folks may be in need of? Could we get a sense of what those might be once we've kind of brought people around the table and broke bread? That was kind of like our initial idea when we first started formulating a plan to put into action. The challenges that Greta is referring to, we were like, okay, now we got to secure some of these food donations so that we can put together this meal each week. And that was challenging, I think, primarily just due to timing, it being winter. I had gone to the farmer's market and asked several vendors if there was any chance that they had anything to donate. And in the winter, all the farmers were like, listen, we're just really strapped. I mean, we do whatever we can to basically survive through the winter, and we pretty much recycle everything anyways. If you talk to me in the spring, I'll set aside a basket for you, or we'll have so much more. This is just not really something that's tenable right now. So that was a big challenge in that aspect for agricultural wise. And it was also just plain difficult to secure food donations. A lot of food was spoken for. So it became challenging to get enough food and enough variance in the types of donations that we wanted to create a whole meal that we could then, put on a meal for a large group of people. So that was that was a bit of a challenge, and why we had to end up pivoting towards something else. I unfortunately we didn't have the idea about the waste in our own scholastic community until after the first semester. It's something that was kind of in my mind, but it just didn't materialize, I think, until we found struggles with our initial idea. So I thought, let's really try and get this going, though. Let's attempt to do a food drive on the SUNY Albany campus and see if we can get that to work. So I first thought, like, I have no idea who I need to talk to. Let me call the gatekeeper, let me call the SUNY Albany operator, and I just explained, this is who I am, this is the project I'm trying to do, I'm attempting to do a food drive, can you direct me to someone that you think might know a little bit more, could also point me in the right direction? And they were helpful, and they pointed me to student affairs, and then it was kind of leapfrogging from one person in student affairs to the other, and then they eventually said that you need to talk to Neighborhood Life, and that eventually, at the end of all that, landed me with a fellow by the name of Luke Rumsey, who's the associate director of Neighborhood Life, and he was the kind of key individual that we needed to interact with in order to get all of the permissions to have the food drive on campus. And he's been really great so far. He was, as soon as I sent him the email, he was all about it. We've met once, and then we have a meeting this upcoming Monday to kind of solidify the details. I did get confirmation from him a few days ago, though, that the project has been greenlit by Residence Life, which is really nice. So we're thinking that the food drive is going to be 4 weeks long, starting on April 29th and ending the first Monday after finals end, May 20th. And we're going to put out donation boxes for non-perishable food items in the residential locations on campus. The list you gave me were the Empire Commons, the Liberty Terrace, the Freedom Quad, the Alumni Quad, the Dutch Quad, the Colonial Quad, Indian Quad, State Quad, in addition to the campus center, as well as the downtown campus. We'll be putting a box up.
Well, this is something, because you think, okay, there's all this food at the end of the semester, and the steps that you had to go to even get the approval.
Yeah.
It's not an easy process. I mean, I'm glad everything is working out, but it just goes to show, when you guys were doing the capstone project, did you think there was so many steps just to collect food that people didn't want anymore before they leave for the end of the semester?
Yeah, no, not at all. Some of the funny things that you don't think about, but they end up mattering, the kind of the details. So what sizes should the boxes be? Because we were just kind of like, at first, like, oh, we just need to get some boxes to put out there. And then they're like, well, you don't want them to be too small, because then if they fill up, you're going to be taking car trips out, you know, potentially when it's in the throes of this every day or two, maybe, to go get these boxes and empty them and put them back. And that could be a problem. So just thinking about even the dimensions of the boxes and mm-hmm. how we're going to decorate them and get them like situated so that they grab attention from students. A couple other things were just like what needs to exactly explicitly be on the flyer that we're going to put up. And then I had asked Luke, because I thought it might be an issue, I was like, can we put up flyers just on the bulletin board in the campus center? And he was like, oh, no.
Need approval for that, too.
Yeah, I thought that, quite frankly, that's a little antithetical to the idea of a bulletin board. right? Is like you should just, you know, it's not as if
needs the stamp of approval.
You're like, oh, my band's playing. I thought it. No, like he was, and getting approval for that. Funnily enough, he said that is a thing that I don't even know if we should even bother getting into. Like
it's, you have to it's, usually affiliate it with a student group or something like that.
Yeah. But
there's different ways that, and one of the ways that you guys are trying to spread awareness is through the radio show and through flyers and email and social media. So there's a lot of different ways to get approval. Mm-hmm. And they even have on UAlbany's Instagram where they put the flyers for the week of upcoming events. So we might be able to get that on there.
There's a good idea. Yeah, sure.
So yeah, go ahead, Eric.
So it strikes me in listening to your group that you've got a couple different goals here, I think, but I want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly the idea of this food drive for redistributing, see if I can phrase this right, redistributing food that's not used by students at the end of the semester and collecting that food. And I'll find out a little bit what you'll do with that food after you've collected it, because we haven't talked about that. But then also this project, the capstone, community engagement capstone project for your group, and again, you're called Students for Food Security, is also trying to promote some social change. So some of that too is about awareness, and certainly your PSA, your public service announcement, that talks about food insecurity as an issue. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about the social change you're trying to get to with that?
Yeah, you know, we have a system right now to try to address food insecurity. You know, we have pantries, we have SNAP, and it's really important that people learn about those resources that are available right now, because those can be a really important way for people to meet their basic needs. But it's also important to acknowledge that those systems are not adequate. And even with those systems in place, we still have 13% food insecurity overall. We still have 30% of single-parent households in food insecurity and 40% of households in poverty experiencing food insecurity. And we know how that affects children. We know how it affects adults. And it causes so much stress and so much difficulty for people around our country, around our communities, and there's not a great deal of awareness about it. So one of the really important things we would like to do is to raise awareness. And we've created a Facebook page, facebook.com/AlbanySFS. And we're trying to organize and share information through that page. We're working with Food Not Bombs, and Food Not Bombs is organization that serves food and also fights for change in our political system, because just what we have in our current system isn't adequate. We need to build up additional systems, and we need to advocate for political change.
So I was going to say, so in addition to that, there's quite a stigma about having food insecurity. It's hard to admit that, and I know that when I interned at Bethlehem Senior Services, we would have a big screen sort of partition for when people would come into our food pantry to get their food, because recognizing that they might want to be confidential, mm-hmm. not let people know that that's what they're doing. But again, one of the things we really want to get out there is how quickly this can happen to you. You could lose your job, spur of the moment, and then just not have any food. You could have issues with the electric bill, and then your refrigerator goes out, and you don't have food. This happens to everybody at any time. So we really wanted to work on the stigma so people are more comfortable with this and know that there is a lot of help out there. I think this might be a good time if, Nicole, you want to talk a little bit about the food pantries at the university.
Yeah, I mean, so SUNY Albany and all the SUNY campuses really got an initiative from Governor Cuomo to have food pantries on college campuses or to be associated with a food pantry in the community.
Great.
So I think part of our project is not entirely reinventing the wheel. Like, mm-hmm. we wanted to do mm-hmm. our own community meal, but then we realized if we can't do that, maybe we can just contribute to what's already here. And so our idea to do the food drive, that is kind of similar. So students have all this food that they're going to throw away at the end of the semester. So what if we collect that food and donate it to the pantry that's been helping students?
Yeah.
all year.
Yeah.
Or the SUNY Albany is going to have their own food pantry next year. Mm-hmm. So to donate some of the food towards that food pantry so students are giving back to students again.
Great.
And that's kind of the concept that we ended up going with as a group, just because, yes, we need to have political change and to do new things, but also we need to support the things that exist right now.
Could you say something about St. Vincent's for people who don't know?
I'm not quite sure when they have their open pantry hours, but they're the ones that we're associated with as SUNY Albany.
Okay.
So that's the food pantry in our community. By the end of 2018, all SUNY campuses had to either have a pantry on campus or be associated with one. So that is our particular pantry. Okay. But next year, I do believe we're going to have our own.
And I think it's on Madison Avenue, right? St. Vincent's? I believe it's on Madison Avenue near Main Street.
Great.
Okay. Yeah, it's close to campus.
To more specifically answer the question that you'd had, Eric, about what's going to happen to the food donations, I was talking with Luke about it and also the group, and thought that we're going to take some of the food that, if it has an expiration date that's kind of coming up, and we're going to give that to St. Vincent as kind of like a thank you for supporting the school through what they've done so far. But the lion's share of the donations are meant to go to the new campus food pantry that's, he called it a soft launch that's starting next semester in fall 2020. So great. I'm not exactly sure what that looks like, but I think tying food insecurity together with the new pantry launch and mm-hmm. raising awareness for students on the UAlbany campus is kind of like a nice way to broach the topic and kind of bring like kind of a community element to the students here.
No, it's a great point, Will. So if you've just tuned in, we're listening to the Social Workers live radio talk show, and we've been interviewing four graduate students from the University at Albany School of Social Welfare who have created a group entitled Students for Food Security. We've been talking with Greta Hansing, Nicole Gentile, Bob Wright, and Will Schaefer. So just as a final wrap-up question, Students for Food Security is your group. Do you see a life for the group beyond this project? And I'm wondering, you know, I'm certainly hearing about new initiatives here at the university, a food pantry that will be starting in 2020. Is there, a gift that you might be giving to the university community in terms of this group and maybe trying to grow the group?
I would say yes. We started a Facebook page, facebook.com/AlbanySFS, and we'll be maintaining that. And it would be great if students in the future who are doing a capstone course would like to contribute to that or, you know, as well and build on the work we've done.
Or volunteers.
Volunteers as well, yep. And we will also be doing a training event for Food Not Bombs, which you could register for by visiting that Facebook page. And in addition to that, we're going to stay engaged with this topic and we're going to do what we can in our communities, with our friends, with our families to let them know what's going on with food insecurity and how they can learn more about it and help to address it and help to start making the political change we need and help one another on the community level.
So if you are interested in donating food, again, it will be should be around the dates of April 29th through May 22nd. You can there will be boxes at all of the quads in the apartments like Liberty Terrace and Empire Commons, at the campus center, and right here at the downtown campus. So there are many ways that you can give some food to, you know, contribute to this project.
So it's been exciting to talk with you. Thank you for the interview, and thanks for telling us about Students for Food Security. We're excited to hear how your food drive goes and excited to hear how future efforts materialize from this. So thank you for your hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Social Workers on WCDB Albany.